This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Authentic Persuasion Show. My name is Jason Cutter. This is part three of the conversation with Dr. Sterling Bone. We're going to dive into it because there's so much to talk about when you get into the future of sales. Dr. Sterling, are you ready to talk about the future and salespeople and what that might bring?
I'm excited about it, but I'm a little bit scared too. But let's talk about it.
That's fair. I appreciate that. I feel like I have conversations with people or sometimes people on the show when they're like, yeah, this is exciting. It's all great. It's like, but is it right? I understand it's mostly exciting, but like, where is that side? So let's talk about this. And for people tuning in, we're diving into this. Please make sure to check the show notes, get Dr. Sterling's links. You can find him on LinkedIn. You can find his Huntsman School with Utah State University. We'll also have his bio and his background. Make sure to check out part one and part two. But when we talk about the future of sales, let's first talk about the buyers, the customers, because that's really all that matters. Sorry, salespeople, but it really is all that matters. What do you see that they want more of or less of in the future, or the future being right now?
I wish I knew exactly what buyers wanted because I'd be a lot more effective, wouldn't we all? But but I think that, clearly we're seeing, a shift that buyers continue to have constraints with time. They want to mitigate their risks of making bad decisions. I think, especially with the economy and questions around the economy, people are wanting to be much more sure of their decision making. I think time is going to continue to be that pattern, as they just have less and less time to, and they're not going to waste time with poor selling. They want to have more meaningful interactions, and so I think this is prime time for sellers to become better scientists, better data-driven performers. I mean, there's clearly always going to be an art. I think there's clearly, value in that communication and that human interaction piece. But I think buyers are going to demand for us to be experts and dialed in more on the underlying insights and data of what we sell. And I'm seeing it from a leadership standpoint. I'm currently consulting with some leaders of revenue and sales, and their boards, and the pressure that they're feeling from the top is show us the data around your selling and revenue, operations. And I think, this is going to be an opportunity for as sellers to embrace and love sales operations. I think, the individual contributor needs to become much more aligned with their sales operations folks. I think, sales enablement is clearly rising, and if it hasn't risen to a level in your organization, you probably might wonder why, because I think that's really key. I think we have to get off of the island as sellers. We have to really embrace the supporting and the value added roles and functions around us that support us in a selling role, and we need to be more unified in what we're needing to do in terms of the data and the underlying science of our sales processes.
So when you just talked about what the buyers want more of and less of, and buyers want more of like time savings, they want to mitigate their risk in making the wrong decisions. They want more data. They want to understand that, the person they're talking to, that salesperson, has the data and is helping them making data-driven decisions. And again, this is both B2B and B2C, right? As much people buy emotionally and they think emotionally, they want help justifying things intellectually with the data, no matter what it is, somebody buying a car or somebody buying, an LMS for their business. And so what do you see, though, for the future of salespeople and the personalities and the type of people who are entering into sales versus the smooth-talking, charismatic extroverts that people think is the only people who can be successful in sales, or that's what it takes, versus those salespeople don't necessarily like the data and the science part of it. So what are you seeing in that?
Yeah,
going back to probably what you were talking about.
I don't want people to tune off this podcast saying, professor just wants more data. That's kind of an academic thing to say. I think what I mean by data is I think the buyers want results.
Yes.
They want growth. They want to, and I think as a seller, you need to be able to, stay very in tune to the performance lift that you promise and that ultimately you deliver. I mean, we're in a day and age where I can fire my providers, my subscription-based providers. I can just cancel them right now, right? If there's not impact, if there's not usage and growth and real impact that I get to realize as a buyer, I can switch and I can be gone yesterday. And so it's absolutely imperative as sellers that we are able to have these conversations, right? Some of the areas that I'm really excited about the future of sales is the customer success function, how that's continued to rise and the role. And I think that doesn't have to be something that we just delegate and relegate to after the sell. I think that should be front of mind for any seller. How can I make you successful? Right. How I'm trying not to set you up for a contract or that first purchase order or that first invoice. I'm really setting you up for success. And if we buy into that, and again, I work with organizations where that customer success piece is a separate person, but I've also worked with organizations where that customer success person is the person that's taken the buyer through their initial steps of adoption and purchase. And so I think the customer success piece is going to be critical. And it's not it's not the soft and fluffy customer service that a lot of people think it is. I mean, customer success is the science dialed in. It is the impact and fulfillment, that usage data, that ability to build a story and to continue that story with your customer after that purchase. And so, not to riff too long on this, but I think the customer success is something I'm really excited about, something that we're wanting to embrace more and more in our curriculum, is to prepare our students not just to be, quota attaining, high performing salespeople, but can they really grow and manage and develop customer success after that sell?
Well, and I think that's the big shift that you're helping students make. And I think that sales professionals should make, and that customers are demanding, is that a salesperson role isn't to get someone to agree, sign the contract, and then move on to somebody else. And who cares what happens, right? Because that's the classic sales models. I did my job. Where's my commission? I don't care what happens. Instead, it's I'm selling something. The whole goal is a lifetime customer. Even if that doesn't happen, it's how do I help this person achieve what they actually set out to get, and what do they want, and how do I ensure that actually happens? Because that's what a true professional does, right? It's not I'm just selling you this surgery and I don't even care if it works. It's I'm going to get you to agree to this surgery if I'm a doctor. And then I want to get that surgery done for you. And I wanted to get the results so I can leave you in a better place than I found you.
Yeah. And lifetime value and just, the recurring revenue basis has always been something that we've known about. I mean, it's not always, but it's nothing that's new. But I think as a seller, you need to adopt that, that perspective and adopt that belief that I am contributing to a lifetime value of customer. And that on aggregate, this is the livelihood of my company when I aggregate lifetime value of our customer base. And what am I contributing? How am I contributing to that? And I think, even as sales leaders, I think there's going to be, shifting, attitudes and beliefs around compensation, rebuilding it more around the customer success metrics. I think, loyalty is something we should pay for premium on, is if we are able to sell with a loyal, sell in a way where we build loyalty within our customer base. And I'm in conversations I'm having with some senior leaders, they're looking at the whole organization. So how do we shift this mindset, right? How do we support it from a technology standpoint? How do we support it from a compensation culture? All these things I think are really top of mind for CROs and VPs of sales, is that we need to really be thinking about the long game, not just the short game.
Yeah. And there's two big things that come to mind when I think about that, what you were just talking about is for everyone tuning in and listening to this, just remember it's one customer and it's one company with a solution. And the customer does not care about your title, your department, your silo. They don't care. They just want what they want. Right. And so you think your job is done here. They have to get what they were promised. And the company doesn't care about your title or your department or your silo. They care about the customer and the success and what they're offering. And so everyone kind of has to shift to this like one team, one fight kind of mentality of making sure they provide. And then the other part you mentioned early on is like how we can, you know, any service provider that we have, we can cancel it, you know, especially personally, like in a moment's notice. Is I think salespeople forget that everyone has what they feel like unlimited choices, mm-hmm. and customers view everything as a commodity. And so if they don't like it, they're just going to switch. They're not as loyal to you as you think they should be and how amazing you think you are, right? Even if you are, you have to make sure that they understand that by getting value from it. And so with the future of sales, again, the part that I'm guessing you're talking about that you're scared about, like you're excited about, but also scared about it, is that in the technology realm? Is that in the AI realm? Talk about the future of sales that you're either concerned about, worried about, or, you know, not sure about and what you're seeing.
Yeah, I think we've all been alerted and felt some discomfort. And also I'm in a big advocate and embracer of artificial intelligence and all of these technologies. I get nervous regarding, you know, are we going to dehumanize the interaction with these technologies, or you know, are these technologies going to enable us to be more human, more authentic? And I clearly see applications. We embraced artificial intelligence AI solutions with across our program this last year. It's interesting just to see, you know, the attitudes that, you know, this generation of sellers is embracing it. They're excited about it. I worry that sometimes, and I'm an oldie but goodie, kind of one of that, you know, some of you might relate to me in terms of age, that you know, as a leader and you know, it's scary because it's something that we didn't grow up in. It's something that we haven't necessarily utilized. I see a lot of potential and opportunity, but I also have my reservations that is this just another way for us to take a step back when it comes to authenticity? Is this something that's going to take away the value that is created with an authentic seller? And so, you know, I throw up the image that many of you've seen of, you know, sales tech stacks, and we could probably just put up all the AI tech stacks that are up there. And, yes. And it's, you know, you can get nauseous just trying to understand what's there, right? I worry that the proliferation of technology around this space is going to I guess maybe distract us from what the ball we should be hitting. And, and so again, I'm doubling down on human interaction. I'm doubling down that the talent that's coming out of programs like mine need to be as genuine and authentic. And you need to also understand how to utilize the technology, sure, but it's not going to replace the ability for you to critically think. It's not going to replace the ability for you to empathize and to be a human that you can be the very best performer and you know, be the very best human. You don't have to become the technology, you know, you can be your best human and be very successful as an authentic seller.
I love it. When you first started, I was thinking, okay, but how do we get there with the concerns? And then you just said, it's all about that focusing on the humans. Is what I say all the time is, if it's this day and age, it's 2023 when we're recording this, if it still takes a human, you, the salesperson, talking to another human who's scared, confused, whole goals, hopes, dreams, aspirations, they need some guidance and wisdom. If it still takes one human talking to another human, that's your one job, right? Like, not the other stuff. If AI and technology can't replace the human to human interaction, then just be a human and focus on being a really good human that helps other humans.
Yeah, absolutely. And I knew we can see, you know, other industries, and I mean, obviously application of AI is abundant, but we're still in a profession where we rely upon others to help us, and that we can help. And I'm a big sports guy, Jason, you know, I'm always thinking of sports, right? And I think, you know, even with all of the sports analytics, all of the, you know, the infusion of technology to increase humans' abilities to play and be stronger, to jump, it hasn't replaced the need for a coach. It hasn't replaced the need for a teammate, right? We're still in an environment where you can't just be a superstar that's kind of, you know, juiced up with all of the whatever advancements of science and be the top performer. You need to surround yourself with a great team. You need to be able to communicate with that team. You need to be able to have a coach that also embraces the human qualities. So I think we can look at parallel situations where, yeah, technologies have made sports probably in some regards better, but some would argue maybe worse. But in reality, it's probably amplified the need of having really good people, really good humans perform at the best that they can, but that they are truly authentic to self. And so again, I'm excited about technology. I hope it's just not a distractor for us to get off on the journey that we're already at in terms of trying to promote authenticity.
No, and I think that's a great perspective and concern. And I think the biggest thing is salespeople, again, we're all human, so we're all self-centered on one side, which is salespeople think, oh, well, technology is going to replace me. But like you said, with the sports analogy, is technology and enhancements help one team, but everyone has the same access. In sales, the buyers have similar technologies and enhancements to keep from you getting to them or you tricking them. So you have to be even more of a professional. That's what happens in professional sports, is everyone has to get better because they're up against a better opponent. And that never stops. That cycle never stops. So last question on this future part, what are you most excited about in the future of professional higher education sales programs, having started the one that you're at, having been doing it for the number of years you have and been a part of helping others start their, you know, mentoring others in their higher ed sales programs? Like, what are you excited most about the future of these kind of programs?
Well, I'm really excited that, first of all, sales is being embraced and acknowledged and recognized across the academy. And I'm in a business school environment, and it wasn't too many years. I've been 20 years in this journey of, you know, being a professor, teaching sales. But I remember early on in the days that I felt like I was the redheaded stepchild, I was the kind of the one-off professor in the school that was teaching selling and professional selling skills, that, you know, it's all about finance or it's all about strategy. And that conversation and that is really tempered. I think, you know, my colleagues and disciplines that support and surround what I do in training best of class sales professionals, they get it, right? My accounting professors are my biggest champions. They love having selling taught. First of all, they want their accountants to be able to learn how to sell so they can rise to partner at some of the best accounting firms, right? They recognize that it's all about revenue creation and value creation, and everybody should have that. But I'm really excited that we've kind of left our silos and our turf wars on which discipline is better, and have recognized that we're all in sales. We're all in revenue creation. We all need to recognize and embrace the opportunity that is sales. So I'm excited about that. I'm also excited that it's not just a few programs that do this in the country. I was one of those students coming out of my PhD program that knew that there were programs that have been doing it for a few years and some a little bit longer, but now it's being embraced widely. And that it's, you know, that we're not on islands. We're doing this in collaborative manners. We sync up with professors across the globe that are doing this. We're able to capture best practices from lots of different perspectives on how to train in professional sales, product in terms of students coming out of our programs. So I'm excited that we're not on an island and that we're not ostracized as that one off. And I'm frankly, even in my world that I operate, we're elevated as being really important in today's economy. We are really important, and we continue to be really important. And our students that come out get treated and recruited as really important, which is really nice. It's nice to see that sales has risen to an honorable profession, that it's very valuable, and that it's rewarded. And even those that train and support the ecosystem of sales are similarly being rewarded to do what we do.
And I think what you said really resonates the most with me, and what I see and what I think is important is that everything is revenue creation, and sales at some level for all kinds of roles. And I think historically sales is just seen as an art and a gross art, especially by people who aren't in it, versus the profession it can be. And then the tools and the strategies that are effective. Again, if you want to be an accountant who's a partner, you better be an accountant who can bring in new revenue or help the current customers use more service and generate more revenue for the company. Mm-hmm. And people separate, oh, well, I don't want to be a gross car salesman, so that's not me. And then versus what you're teaching. So yeah. I think that's amazing. Super excited for that.
Yeah. And in fact, if I could just share just a little anecdote story that I thought was, I felt like I arrived when my Harvard bred dean, who is a finance economist, not at all what you would think as, you know, someone that would support sales. he asked me, can I get one of your pro sales t-shirts and shirts to wear? And for me, it was like, I made it. I've converted the Done. Biggest skeptics that may be out there in an 100%. Environment like I am. That is those that are like, you know, a very elite, bright academic mind, leader in our business school that says, you know what? I want to put the logo of sales on my chest. Because I get it. And so again, I'm really excited that, you know, for your listeners as well, that I think opportunities are going to continue to expand and grow. We're not going to replace sales with any technology, or we're going to need individuals that are truly trusted advisors that are wanting to serve through selling.
Yeah, I love it. That's a great place to end that evolution of the sales programs, which is the evolution of selling and what buyers want, what customers are looking for and craving most from salespeople, and how sales professionals can be that person, be that guide and help them. As I said in the beginning and I said throughout, Dr. Sterling, thank you for being here. And even more importantly, I mean, this is telling the story and hopefully sharing this with people who didn't even know these programs existed, or, you know, learning about your perspective and kind of things that would help them in their business, but more so what you're doing for the future of sales. And my goal is to live in a world where if I'm talking to a salesperson, they're a professional and I can actually trust them to do the right thing and be that guide for me. This is all self-centered because I'm an only child. I just want to actually be able to get help from actual salespeople, and that's just not a thing right now. And so I appreciate your efforts and our relationship, but in helping the future of sales and really changing the direction of how sales is done. So thank you for that. And of course, for being here.
No, thank you. And I think it's really amazing that, first of all, Jason, that you would want to speak to academics like us. I think this is where the beauty comes, is as we really collaborate to try to build and edify our society through authentic sellers. It's great that we're working across the divide that sometimes is university and practitioners. Mm-hmm. So appreciate you taking a risk and a chance on us, and appreciate all you're doing to help further the cause for our students.
If anyone, you know, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be someone like me, who's not the salesperson, the natural born salesperson. So I'm open to anything and everything. And I just appreciate it. I just want a better world for everybody, including, you know, future salespeople. So I appreciate that. And for everyone tuning in, please make sure to connect with Dr. Sterling online, on LinkedIn, post a lot of great stuff, support his program, support all these programs, get the word out. Even if you don't plan on being involved, just follow and just amplify these kind of things. Share, obviously, these episodes, these podcasts, everything you can. The links for Dr. Sterling will be in the show notes, more about his bio if you want. Have the transcript in here. If there's anything that you missed, make sure to check these out on YouTube and also the audio everywhere podcasts are sold. And appreciate everyone tuning in for this and being a part of the journey. And thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.